Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
One of the hallmarks of Jesus' ministry was the division his teaching and healing brought among the Jewish people. Some believed in Jesus as the Messiah when they saw his miracles in restoring people with health problems and demon possessions. Others went back to look in the Old Testament to check out what they believed the Messiah should be doing and the prophecies regarding his life. In John chapter 7, the people heard Jesus speaking boldly at the temple in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. The religious rulers listened in too, yet said nothing to him, although in their hearts they were wanting to kill him. The people wondered if the rulers did indeed know that Jesus was truly the Christ, the Son of God. At the end of Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says Joseph took Mary and the baby Jesus to Nazareth, so that the prophecy might be fulfilled about Jesus being called a Nazarene. The word Nazarene means branch or separated one, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 11. So a division about Jesus' messiahship caused the people listening in the temple to be unsure of the source of Jesus' power and authority.
You will now become quiet. The Sanhedrin ruling council of Israel is now in session. Caiaphas, most high priest, presiding.
Revered members, you all know why this special meeting has been called. Ever since the apparent healing of the crippled man at Bethsaida, the man Jesus from Nazareth has been going throughout the land disobeying the laws of the temple services and attempting to bring disgrace and dishonor to the rulers and priests of Israel, to us. When enough people are on his side, he will lead them into a revolt and place himself on a throne as their king. This we must stop.
Ever since Bethsaida, has not this august body been trying to entrap Jesus so as to have him killed?
Nicodemus, you are always speaking out of turn.
I think the question posed by Nicodemus is appropriate and should be answered.
The answer is, yes, we have.
Why, sir?
I told you why, to put an end to his teachings of heresy before he overthrows all that God and Rome have ordained.
You have had spies out all this time, have you not? Watching every move and listening to his every word?
Yes.
And still you have found nothing to warrant his arrest?
Captain?
Yes, sir. Our spies report that Jesus of Nazareth is such... he speaks with so much authority and wisdom that they become transfixed, unable to move against him. Also, they fear the people. Any open move against Jesus might easily arouse the wrath of the multitudes, and the lives of the spies would be endangered.
Now, does that answer your question, Nicodemus?
For the time being, yes.
I've come to a conclusion, members of the council. Obviously, Jesus cannot be taken into custody in the presence of a multitude of people. Unless he can be led into a trap that will reveal to the multitude that he is a false teacher, seeking to overthrow the government as well as the ceremonies appointed by God. If that fails, we will have to resort to arresting him privately and whisking him away to a secret place. And there... all in favor, so indicate. Nicodemus, you did not vote. Neither did you, Joseph of Arimathea.
I have not as yet made up my mind.
At the proper time.
Captain, you continue to have all places covered by our spies. Remember, all of you, I want Jesus trapped so he can be silenced. Above all, he must be humbled before the multitude so that we, once more, become the revered leaders of the people. The very first thing I want you to do when you see Jesus the first day of the next feast, if possible, is to ask him this question. Ask it so that all may hear. It is the law that all teachers in Israel must study at the feet of priests in the temple. This you have never done. So tell us.
You are a man of no learning. Therefore, by what authority do you presume to go about Israel teaching the people?
My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
The master speaks simply, yet with great meaning and wisdom. Truth must be received into the soul. Then it will claim the doing of God's will.
Sometimes, Peter, you're as deep as still water.
Shh. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.
True, very true.
Shh. Did not Moses give you the law, thou shalt not kill? Yet none of you keepeth it. If so, why go ye about to kill me?
Thou hast a devil. Who goest about to kill thee?
It is the rulers and the Pharisees who seek to kill Jesus. He speaks boldly, yet those who were sent to arrest him say nothing. They do not know that he is the very Christ whom they seek.
Stranger, I heard your words. You marvel. We all do. Jesus is from Nazareth. Grew up there. People know him. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is.
Shh! He's going to speak again.
Ye do know me, and ye know from whence I came. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me.
He openly claimed to be sent of God.
Yes, sir.
Captain?
Yes, sir.
Take some officers. Go to the temple. Find Jesus, arrest him, and bring him here to me.
At once, sir.
There he is. Go and... Oh, no. No, he's about to talk to the people. Let's hear what he has to say.
Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come.
I go to him that sent me. Me? What does he mean by that? I wonder, could he...
You did not arrest Jesus?
No, sir.
Why?
Never spake man like this man.
Never spake man like... What kind of an excuse is that?
Jesus spake with much authority and power.
Are you deceived like the people? Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed on him? Have any of us?
Some, sir.
Only the people believe, but they are ignorant of the laws and are cursed. Take your men back to the temple, and this time bring Jesus to me. We have enough evidence to put him to death.
Sir... Does our law permit the judging of any man without first hearing his case in court? Nay, so also shall the man from Nazareth be heard, that we may know the truth about what he doeth. He shall be judged accordingly.
The court of the Sanhedrin is dismissed.
Caiaphas, the Jewish temple priest, acted more like a politician than a humble priest who led the people to understand what the scriptures said and loved God. Caiaphas didn't want to know about God's displeasure in the way he and his fellow priests' hearts were far from God, even though they followed many religious traditions in the temple and did these seemingly very well. If only Caiaphas had compassion for the poor and uneducated people, God would have been better pleased with him. Caiaphas really ran a religious business which paid him and his workers a very good living. The rulers had made themselves rich by charging high prices for buying sacrificial animals used in sin offerings. Jesus' teaching was hard for the people to accept because they never expected that the Messiah would die at a young age. They wanted the Messiah to drive out their hated Roman overlords and set up a victorious Israelite kingdom again. In their eyes, Jesus of Nazareth wasn't exactly building up their expectations of giving them independence and freedom again. No doubt many were quite disappointed in Jesus because he wasn't catering to their wishes and expectations. Christian Bible students today can make good sense of Jesus' sayings due to a wonderful thing called hindsight. After Jesus' death and resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit, all the biblical prophecies were better understood. Jesus came to earth this first time to be the sin-bearer of those who would trust in him. The second time Jesus will come, which will come at some unknown future time, he will set up his 1,000-year kingly reign and rule the whole world from Jerusalem. At present, the earth groans under the curse of sin, which started at the time of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus will recreate the world to be a restored and well-functioning place again. What a time of rejoicing this time will be. Everyone will have plenty of food to eat. With no threat of war, everyone will live in peace and be satisfied. When Caiaphas sent officers to arrest Jesus as he taught in the temple, the officers stopped and listened instead. When they returned to Caiaphas, they told him that no one ever spoke like Jesus did. The Pharisees replied, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him?" The rulers dismissed the crowd listening to Jesus as being doomed because they didn't know the law as well as the priests did. In Proverbs chapter 17 it says, "A friend loves at all times." Nicodemus, a Pharisee, spoke up in the temple. He had visited Jesus by night to ask questions and was undoubtedly a secret believer in him. He said to the murmuring religious rulers, "According to our law, we cannot condemn people before hearing them and finding out what they have done." The others there told Nicodemus to search and look through the scriptures, for no prophet had ever come from Galilee. Then they all went to their homes while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. The Lord Jesus had only 6 months more of ministry before the last Passover would bring his life to a close. Although Jesus had made many friends, he also had made many bitter enemies in the temple. The rulers had been after his blood for some time, and when any new confrontation arose, Jesus quietly moved away from it all. Jesus knew at that point that his time hadn't come to die. He also knew that he must fulfill the prophecies that said he would die on a tree or a cross. Despite knowing he would soon die, Jesus didn't compromise his teaching to make it more acceptable to the religious leaders. In Matthew chapter 10, he said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. No, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Your worst enemies will be the members of your own family." This piece is a quote from Micah chapter 7 in the Old Testament. Certainly this became true for Jesus in that he was betrayed by one of his own chosen disciples who'd been with him for years. Jesus taught people how to treat their enemies. In Luke chapter 6 he said, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." In Romans chapter 12 the apostle Paul quotes from Proverbs chapter 25, "If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. For by doing this, you will make them burn with shame. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good." A family of new Christians was having trouble at school with a bully upsetting their boy during the day. When they read those verses from the Bible, the family took them literally. The mother sent her boy to school with food for the bully, and it worked. The bully and son were soon good friends. In the American Revolution against Britain from 1775 to 1783, an old Baptist pastor by the name of Peter Miller enjoyed the friendship of General George Washington. In the same city lived another man who did all the evil things he could do to oppose and humiliate the pastor. One day, however, this evil man was arrested for treason and sentenced to die. When the pastor heard of it, he walked 70 miles to visit George Washington to plead for the man's life. "No, Peter," General Washington said, "I cannot give you the life of your friend." "My friend?" exclaimed the old preacher. "He's the bitterest enemy I have." "What?" cried Washington. "You've walked 70 miles to save the life of an enemy? That puts the matter in a different light. I'll grant your pardon." And so he did. The old pastor took the man back to their city, and no longer an enemy, but as a friend. The justification by faith words are from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you believe, be saved, and find peace in heart and mind to be your experience today." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.